Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sounds like it. There, we got power in the hole. Praise the Lord. All right, Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies here.
Okay, this is a young lady that she's 18 years old and in college. She writes us a lot, and we answer her questions anyway. She wrote, I have three testimonies. First, God healed my eye, and she'd written a few days before that she woke up and it was her right eye, and it was inflamed and had a rash on it, and it hurt to blink and all this. Anyway, we told her what the reasons were, and so we prayed for her, and so God healed her eye. And I had to uninstall a dishwasher and did not have the strength to get some of the screws out, so I asked God to have my angels help me. Also, I couldn't find a screwdriver, but God helped me find and use a different tool. And third, I had my angels help me put away my kayak. I'm thankful for my angels.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yep, that's flesh. Okay, this one came, let's see. I think they're Indian. I believe that's what they are. She had written us previously on December the 18th. Dear Thurman and Cheryl, can you both please pray for my dad? His name is Raha Pitakala. He has prostate cancer. He is in the hospital from last week. The doctors have not discharged him. His kidneys have been affected. He has infection. I am asked my father to repent of all his sins. He did. I teach him all the kingdom principles for healing taught by you. We live in Atlanta. I love your ministry. I am blessed by it. We love to visit your church when we come to Dallas. My father's name is Raha Pitakala, 69 years old. Please pray for his prostate cancer healing and deliverance from fear, anxiety, harassing spirits. Thank you both for your prayers. God bless you. Mark 11:24. I always quote this. It is my promise verse, Grace Matthew. Okay, then that was on the 18th. On the 27th, actually, she wrote back, but it happened on the 24th. So that was 6 days later. Dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, thank you so much for your prayers. My father, Raha Pitakala, has been discharged from the hospital on December 24th. I thank you both from the bottom of my heart for praying for my dad in this busy Christmas season and replying to my email. He is able to walk without a walker, and I believe God has healed my dad from prostate cancer, and he has been delivered from tormenting spirits. Glory to God. My God raises up true healing ministries like yours, who teaches us how to live a godly life so no sickness can cling to us. Thank you once again, Grace Matthew.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, you can say we're still in the Christmas season here. We've so far, for our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit, we've raised $135,512. We've given Christmas to 7,806 children, teen moms, elderly, and homeless, and 447 family gifts over at Grace, so a total of 8,253. Okay, in the... Yay! Okay, and we're still not through. We're still working at it. Okay, so Mo Powers came to us. Mo, wave your hand so everybody knows who you are right over there. Okay, and he needed some coats for the homeless. Well, so far, he had come up and told me that there was two camps in downtown Dallas that they had the police had come and destroyed the camps, and so the people were out any place to go, and they didn't have any coats or blankets. So far we've bought 300 coats, 374 hats, gloves, and scarves, and really there were only 20 scarves in that group, 205 blankets, one pair of shoes, a total of 880, which was in that 8,253 total, and a giving of $14,220 came out of that. Yes, praise the Lord. Right. So God's been really super marvelous, and so if you want to continue in helping in that, I think I have... He's picking up 41 coats today and a pair of shoes that Tristan was so nice to give up. And if you want to, you know, get involved, well, just if you put on your check Christmas or children so that it goes toward that. Okay, and I just want to thank everyone, everybody that's helped and given from the heart. I do know they have a need for shoes. You went this morning, and so is it okay if Mo comes up here? Tells a little bit about what they've been doing.
Who?
Mo, the one that's the homeless thing. Mo, could you come up and tell them a little bit about what's going on with the homeless? And then I'm through.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
I'm sure he'll make it quick.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so there's different degrees of homeless. And as Cheryl was saying, that the city came in, or the county, and tore up the camps. They were on city property, state property, federal property underneath the freeways. And so the people were scattered. I had to go look for them. And I found a few of them. And then just the past couple of weeks that we were out there, we've been buying these delicious, nutritious breakfast tacos, distributing them with all the generous coats and blankets and hats. And we've got these other little hats. I call them the Russian hats. And these ladies are saying, I want one of those Russian hats. And they're just different things that they're saying. And we find people just laying on the street. We put blankets on them. And they told me the other day, they said, you tell your crew, which was people from the Living Savior Church. he didn't know that, obviously. And he said, you tell your crew, I said, thank you. And so I told him that. And we've just been getting hundreds of thank yous. And the blankets been out twice this morning already. And they're still, it's just getting colder and colder, and it's just an absolute, total, complete miracle that this church and ministry and the Lord provided all these coats. It's just absolutely amazing, and the gloves, and, you know, because the main thing to understand is, you know, maybe it's 45 degrees or 50 in the afternoon, you know, at 4 or 5 o'clock, but then you're looking at 12 hours of 30-degree weather. And that's quite a bit. You know, the people are shaking. And so that's when we see them in the morning. And I want to thank the brothers and sisters from here that were helping distribute all the food. And that it's a big hit.
Amen. Praise
They're Lord. Very, very thankful. Thank
Praise
you.
God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is that it?
Yeah, you've got two other
testimonies. Oh, yeah. Well, praise the Lord.
When I
came in today, I was up at the front, and there was a young lady that came in there with her husband and two children, and I reached up to shake her hand, and when I did, she said, I don't want to shake your hand, I want to hug you. And so I thought, okay, you must have got something good from Jesus. So young lady, would you come up here and tell us what Jesus did for you? Because anytime somebody wants to hug me, they got to get something from Jesus. Tell us what the Lord did for you. Hold it real close to you, ma'am.
Well, we used to live here in Texas, and we're back visiting family, but this is my actual anniversary present coming here from my husband, because I told him that I wanted to come see Pastor Thurman, because after listening to his CDs for the past 2 years, I wanted to see him in person again. Because I have faithfully been listening to his CDs, because my mother was healed of diabetes.
Amen.
Right before we moved to Tampa, Florida, 2 years ago, my mother and I came to a healing school. And this gentleman by the name of William Durham, he was our handyman who helped my mother get her house prepared before she sold it, told us about his ministry. And he saw that she was obese. And Pastor Thurman prayed over her at the end of the healing school. And Jesus healed her. She had to get over that doubt. And I kept reminding her, remember what Pastor Thurman said in those scriptures about the doubt. And she didn't want to get rid of her medicine. But she did want to believe that God had healed her. And so she's lost over 100 pounds since.
Wow, praise the Lord.
She had a biopsy, and it was cancerous. That's what the doctor said anyway. But I told her, because she called me and had the doctor talk to me, and I told him, I don't agree with that. And I told her, do not agree with that. Because what Pastor Thurman has taught us through God's Word, that if you agree with that, then you are agreeing with the devil. And we are not to agree with any diagnosis that the doctor gives us, because the great physician is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so she called Pastor Thurman's ministry, spoke to a lady, and I'm sorry, I don't know her name. I don't think she remembers. But she was on the phone with her for at least 45 minutes to an hour, who built her faith back up and prayed with her and agreed with her in prayer that she has been healed of cancer. So she didn't want to go back and have an examination and have the surgery. She just called her doctor and told her doctor, I don't have cancer, and I'm not coming in. But, of course, I have brothers who are doubting Thomas's, and they wanted her to go back and have an examination, and she doesn't have cancer.
Amen.
So, yes, when I saw Pastor Thurman, I wanted to give him a hug for what he has taught me, and my mother, and my family.
Amen.
And I brought my child in with my husband because we wanted Pastor Thurman to pray over her through Jesus, because she's 8 years old and she's still wetting the bed at night and still has to wear goodnight diapers. Every night, there's always something there. So we are faithful, and we agree and we believe that she will not, from this moment forward, have any need for a diaper to wear to bed at night. And I'm also believing, I brought my husband here because I told him we have a very happy marriage, but the only thing that causes me to not want to kiss him is his cigarette breath. And we've prayed over him and we've tried to cast the demon out, but we need Pastor Thurman's faith, because I'll tell you what, the more we pray, it seems like the more he wants to smoke. And he has been smoking since high school, and I was in the Army and the Navy, and we just did that just for something to do to get off the ship, and I never had a problem with it. But he obviously is addicted because he can't get away from it. But he and I are in agreement. And what was that verse, Pastor Thurman? Jacob?
In fact, we're going to do that right now. Just you go ahead and hold that. I've got a mic. What we're going to do this so everybody can see how it works. Brother, I want the husband. I want you to come on up here right now. And I want Cheryl to look up Joel 2:32. I want the camera to put Joel 2:32 on the board so everybody can see it in the King James Bible. Now, and I want you to read that. I want you to take that microphone, and I want you to read that scripture, Joel 2:32. Well, we don't have it yet. Yeah.
And it shall come to pass.
I'll hold it now. I want us to meditate on this as we go through. I mean, I'll be stopping you every little bit. And what did that line say you just read? What did that say?
It will come to pass.
Okay, it didn't say maybe it will come to pass?
It will come to pass.
Oh, it said, and it shall come to pass. Is that what that said?
It shall come to pass.
Okay, now see, the reason I do this is because I'm trying to build your faith. Because without faith, you can't please God. So when we get to the end of this verse, we're going to have to believe it 100% or it won't work. Because he said, not maybe it'll come to pass, not sometimes I'll do it for you, but he said, it shall come. That's what you just read to me, right?
Yes, sir.
And God sent his word and healed us. He sent his word and delivered us. So if he sent his word and he just told you, it shall come to pass, we're on good ground to start out with, right?
Correct.
Okay, so what's the next line say then?
That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord.
Now, wait a minute. Now, who?
Whosoever. Whoever.
Are you a whosoever?
I am.
In other words, you are a whosoever. You don't have to be a John Doe or a Thurman Scrivener or anybody else. It just says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Is that what it said?
Yes, sir.
Not maybe, not do you hope. In other words, this book is a guarantee from God that it'll work, right?
Yes. And amen.
See, and you see your wife, how bold she was with her mother. Mother, you got to get rid of the unbelief. because that's what you got to do.
Right.
And so if I can get this into you enough now, Joel 2:32, where did I say that came from? Joel, where? What?
2:32.
Okay, I want you to burn that in your memory circuits. It says in Joel 2:32. Now read it again.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Now, is that all a guarantee from God?
Yes.
And can God lie?
No.
No. So then why do we have so much trouble believing, you know, just like your wife with your mother's mother, you've got to get rid of this unbelief. You got to take that medicine and throw it away. If we believe that you're healed, you don't need medicine, right?
Right.
Why is that so hard? It's hard because we don't have the word hidden in our heart. Now, when it becomes a reality to you that that verse says what it says and means what it says, this is what will happen. You read that to me one more time.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Okay, this time when it says whosoever, I want you to put your name in that.
And it shall come to pass that Matthew shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Amen. So now do you believe that?
I do.
Okay, so when you read that and you believe that, you're delivered and you're set free, and that nicotine, the Lord has just taken that away from you, right?
Correct.
It's done. It can't fail, right?
Correct.
Okay, so here's what the enemy does. Now, he's really good, and the reason he's so good is because God made him. See, because everything that's made was made by God, even the devil.
Right.
And he made him good so he could be a good overcomer. I mean, a good adversary so he could teach us how to be good overcomers. That's what he's training you and your wife and me and all to do, is to be an overcomer, to believe what's written in his word. If we will live by what his word says, then just like this girl here, I mean, this girl has got such great faith. I mean, you know, y'all told me that y'all went to a church in Florida somewhere that taught these principles even before you met me. You know, that she had certain, in fact, I heard her say that her puppy drowned and she gave him CPR and brought him back to life. Is that right?
Matthew gave him CPR and I prayed over him and said, and asked the Lord to breathe the breath of life back into our little dog. And she closed her eyes. They had been glazed over. She opened her eyes and they were no longer glazed over.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
In other words, here's a girl standing here beside us that has raised the dead in the name of Jesus. Is that true?
It's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now see, you see what happens when we stand on his promises. Even just like Jesus said, and these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name you shall cast out demons, you shall heal the sick, you shall cleanse the lepers, you shall raise the dead. All these things are things we're supposed to do. But what happens when we start to do something, the enemy comes in, and just like I started to say with you, the enemy will come in and he'll walk out that door, and here's what he'll do. A cigarette pack right there. You sure would like to have another one of them, wouldn't you? You see? And you know, you think, now what do the words say? Did I ask Jesus to deliver me?
Yes.
And does he always say yes and amen?
Yes.
He never says no?
No.
So if Jesus said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, I called on his name to deliver me, so that means I'm delivered. But just think, you just need one more cigarette. You say, no, no, no. Get out of there, Mr. Devil. You have no hold on me. The man that used to smoke is now dead. He's dead and he's gone. And now this is the new creature that's standing here. And the new man has been delivered. So I will never smoke another cigarette. I guarantee. So you might as well get out of my life and leave me alone now. And he'll pester you for a while. But then once he sees you really have got it, he'll leave you alone and go away. And you'll never have another problem with nicotine. But remember, you're dead to that because you ask in faith, believing, and Jesus can't lie. So anytime the thought comes, I want another cigarette, you got to say, that man died. Satan, he's dead. He's gone. You have no hold on me. You see what I mean?
And if that devil wants to tell you again that you're going to feel sick if you quit, because that's his greatest fear, and we shouldn't have fear, because fear is of the devil, not of the Lord.
That's right.
And so he's tried to quit several times. He even took a week off and tried to sleep it off. And he thought in his head that he was sick. And we knew better. I knew better than that.
Amen. Now then, do you believe you're delivered?
I do.
Okay, the Lord says do everything with thanksgiving. So we only like one thing.
Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you for my wife.
Amen.
Thank you for leading me to her. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this church, Father. Thank you for all the blessings you've given me and my family.
Now, both of y'all believe you are delivered.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got one little aspect left over. We got a little girl that needs to be delivered of the spirit.
Yes, sir.
See, my wife will go get her and bring her in here. And we're going to pray over her and break this curse over her. And that, because, you know, when you all come here all the way from Florida, when you go home, you might as well all be healed, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Is Jesus good?
Amen.
He is awesome. You just think, all them people that didn't come to church today that are out somewhere, just think what they're missing. They're going to miss this. But we ain't going to miss it. I told them, I said, now this is why I never cut a short a service. I said, because if they come all the way from Florida, and this was the desire of his wife, just to get to come to this church one more time, what if we had, because of the bad weather, what if we had closed down and didn't come to church today? Y'all would have drove up here, pulled up to the door, and found out that we're gone today. It would have ruined your wife's vacation. But that's what she wanted, and it would have cut into the healing and everything. Come over here, honey. Come over here. You're such a sweetheart. Father, you're the daddy. You put your hands on this baby somewhere. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in your word in Matthew 18:19. In fact, what did he say in Matthew 18:19? If two of us agree
on anything,
about anything, it's done.
Yes.
Can't fail.
Can fail.
So thank you, Jesus, for letting us be able to remit sins. We remit the sins of the parents, of grandparents, and break every curse all the way back to Adam and Eve. We thank you, Lord, for this couple. We thank you for these children. Now, Lord, we thank you that you've given us power and authority over the evil spirits, so we command and demand every spirit of curse leave this child and go away and never come back. Now, Father, I ask you to heal this child from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet and make her kidneys work like they were supposed to. And from right now, this day forward, she will never have another problem with her kidneys. Her kidneys will work like they're supposed to until she's an old, healthy woman and ready to come home to be with you. Lord, that she will be well and healthy. And I thank you, Lord, for setting this family on high and using this couple and their children to do great things for the kingdom of God. And I thank you that she is now delivered and set free. And I thank you that your husband is healed. I thank the woman, the mother's healed, the grandmother is healed. Everybody is completely delivered and healed and made whole, and this family is going to be used of you mightily for your kingdom. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's the reason I say that is because sitting right there and right there, 2 months apart, I had 2 13-year-old boys. That one of them had color blindness and he could only see black and white. The other one couldn't focus on nothing, so he couldn't see very well at all. We went through and broke the curse, and when I got down to the point of, now then, do you believe everything we did? And both boys, it was 2 months apart. I said, do you believe Jesus has healed your eyes? And he said, yes. I said, okay, I want you to thank Jesus. Nothing had happened that we could tell. I said, I want you to thank Jesus for giving you perfect eyesight. He said, Jesus, I thank you for my perfect eyes. And then, boy, he jumped and he began to look around and he said, God is awesome. I said, yes, son, I know he's awesome, but what did he do? And he said, wow, God is so cool. I said, yes, son, I know he's cool. I know he's awesome. What did he do? He said, sir, I can see colors everywhere. He had never seen a color. And all of a sudden, the minute he said, thank you, Jesus, the Lord completely restored him, healed him, and made him whole. And he got to see colors. And 2 months later, the mother, she contacted us and said, what a privilege to have been right there and to seen the Lord heal our son. And now then, we've had the privilege the last 2 months of teaching him the colors because he didn't know what color was. He had never seen anything but black and white. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And it happened whenever he said, thank you, Jesus, for healing my eyes. And the Lord says, do everything in prayer and what?
Thanksgiving.
Amen. That's exactly the word we were looking for. So don't ever hesitate. As the Father, you have no idea the authority that God's given you over this family and the power you have when you pray over your wife and these children. I mean, just whatever you do, stress to the Lord that I realize I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am in charge of my family through you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for letting me pray for my wife and my children, using me for your glory. I mean, get to the point to where that any time your children have anything, they hit themselves, they mash their foot or their toe or hurt themselves or do anything, the first thing out of their mouth is, Daddy, pray for me. I mean, if you will pray for them, it'll get to the point. That's the way Dave's kids are. I mean, he's got six kids, and boy, when something happens to one of them, they're all want Daddy to pray.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because they know there's power in Daddy's prayers. So if you raise up those kids like that, guarantee, if they go up, they will know the power of the Word of God, and they won't never have to worry about going to some kind of college and them telling them that God is dead and believing them. They will know when they say, no, you're off out there on the left field going, my daddy, I can tell you here and here and here. And after about an hour, they say, and here, he prayed for me here and here. And every time God showed up, don't tell me he ain't alive and well.
Amen.
You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So pray over those kids every time they have a need so that you'll build into them the faith. And use Scripture, you know, quote Scripture. Just like we did. We just went over Joel 2:32, went over it and over it. Don't ever forget Joel 2:32. Hide that in your heart. Your wife will help you.
Yeah,
you know, she's got a good memory, so you and her together, you know, you all need to go down the road for a while, you know.
Right.
And you say, all of a sudden you say, honey, what was that scripture? And she said, it's Joel 2:32, and this is what it says. And about 30 minutes later down the road, she, honey, what was that scripture? You all need to do that till it's burned into you indelibly. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Because God sent his word to heal you. And his promises are yes and amen every time. He never says no to his obedient children. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
With all this power and all this authority, just like your wife was so ecstatic when her mother got healed of cancer. You know, the only mistake she made when she come in, she said, I healed her. I told her, no, honey, I didn't heal your mother. Well, she finally realized what I was trying to do. I can't take not one ounce of the glory for what he does.
Right.
He does it all. And you as the father, as you pray for your children, you do the same thing. You always let your children see you give him the glory for their healing and their deliverance. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good to have you today, son.
I have one more announcement.
Okay.
His birthday was yesterday.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Let's all sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Thurman. Happy birthday to you.
Praise
and
the Lord.
Many more.
Wow, 79, just think. Wow.
Young pup.
In fact, last night we went to a restaurant out back to have something to eat. And young boy come up to the table. He's going to wait on us. And I asked him, was he a Christian? And he said, yeah, he's a Baptist. And I said, okay, I started out as a Baptist too, so I won't hold that against you. We talked about a few things, and I told him it was my birthday, and I think I told him how old I was. I think, I'm not sure. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But after we ate, he came back by and he said, well, I'll say one thing, you know, you're really, something like you married a young woman or something like that. And he found out I was 79, and Cheryl said, well, I'm 70. He said, you would never have known it. He looked at her and said, wow, you're 70 and you're 79. He said, y'all are really in great shape. And I said, son, the reason we're in great shape is because we learned the Word of God. I said, I have walked with Jesus. I said, and for 35 years in a row, I never went to a doctor. I said, I've never had to have anything done. I had had one test done on my years ago when I was still working as an engineer. They wanted me to go down and have a test done. and so for insurance or something. And I went down there and they tested me and said there was something wrong with my heart. And I said, well, no, there ain't nothing wrong with my heart. And I thought, no, this is just the way of the devil trying to get me to confess that I have heart troubles. But I said, there's not anything wrong with my heart. And so they put me on a treadmill and run me a few minutes. And he said, yeah, there definitely is something wrong with your heart. We're going to send you to a specialist in Irving. So I said, I can guarantee you there's nothing wrong with my heart. And so anyway, I went down there and the doctor checked me. And he said, well, I'm going to send you over to Dallas to I forget which hospital. And I want you to take what you normally take when you go to the hospital. I said, I've never been to the hospital in my life. He said, and I was like 42 or 3 years old or something. He said, you are 40-something years old. You have never been to a hospital. I said, no, never. Never had any surgeries, nothing. I've never had a problem. So why go? I mean, I don't believe in going, but if there ain't nothing wrong, don't fix it. And so anyway, I went over there at his request, and because the company required me to do this. And they gave me a test, and I couldn't believe whenever I went in to be tested. I had never had an angiogram. I didn't know what that was, but right here in my leg, in the groin of my leg, they cut a hole in a main artery. And then they put a catheter in that, and they ran it up into my body. And he said, now then, when I shoot this dye, you're going to be able to feel it all over your body. And I thought, wow, all over? You know, my goodness. So they did, and when they put that little button, and I saw that. I was watching a TV screen. That thing went crazy. I mean, as he did what he did, I saw that stuff go all over my body, all over. And then he moved to another spot, and every time he'd check a valve, I'm looking straight at this computer screen, and I'm watching how all this works. And when he gets through testing, I said, well, Doc, I don't know anything about a heart, but I'm very trained in hydraulics. And I said, it looks like all those check valves and lines and hoses and everything in there is all wide open and clean and running perfect to me. He said, sir, you have the best heart of anybody I've ever checked that was down to 17 years old. He said, you're 40-something years old. He said, you got like a brand new 17-year-old heart. I said, well, I could have told you before there wasn't nothing wrong with my heart because I'm a man of God and I believe in Jesus. So he said, well, you have no stoppage whatsoever. He said, you have perfect wide open veins and arteries and every valve's working perfect. I said, see? So I said, so if all that's right, then what caused the problem with my test? He said, we don't know. So the doctor came to my room a little later on. And he said, well, we're going to make a few more tests this afternoon, and we're going to see if we can find out what caused this to show up like if you have a bad valve in your heart. Okay. So they done the test. After they done it, I said, okay, so what did you find out? He said, okay, there, and he began to talk about some kind of a gland or something that was in my head that went down through my heart, and there was 3 of them, and he talks about that. I said, Doc, I don't understand a word you're saying. Can you put that in layman's terms, you know? I said, because I don't know. He said, okay, since you're an engineer, there's 3 wires that come. He said, you got that right? I said, oh, yeah, okay, I'm with you, 3 wires. 3 wires that come in your brain that go to your heart. And he said, all 3 of those wires, they're redundant. He said, your heart will beat with just 1 of those working. And he said, 1 of yours out of the 3, 1 of yours is broken off. And I said, how in the world did it get broken off? He said, the only way I can think, he said, do you do a lot of heavy, heavy pulling and work? I said, yeah, I really do. He said, well, all I can say is you must have really been doing some heavy pulling. And in that heavy pulling, you pull one of those wires off of your heart. And so whenever we do a test with a, whatever you call that machine, that they, what do you call those?
EKG.
Yeah.
EEG.
Or what?
EKG.
EKG, yeah, that's what it was, an EKG machine. So anyway, he said, when we do the EKG, the heart test, it shows up, you know, that there's something wrong with your heart. But he said, you only need one of those to live. I said, what if I'd only had one? He said, well, if God had only give you one, he said, the day you snapped that one off, he said, it would have been over. He said, your heart has to have that impact. Now, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I'm just repeating what he told me. But he said, your heart has to have that impact or that signal from the brain that goes to the heart to tell it what to do. And said, if it's not there, it don't beat. And so if it don't beat, well, then he said, you just die. But he said, since you've got three, two of them's working, one of them's not working, the one that's not working is the one that we're reading. And so he said, that's what's causing it to show up, that there's something wrong with your heart. I thought, wow. So anyway, I left there and went away. And, of course, that's been at least 40 years ago. And I've never had a problem, never. I mean, so I was telling that young man in there last night that when I told him, I said, I have 35 years. I've not been to a doctor for 35 years in a row. I didn't go to a doctor, didn't have no surgeries, no nothing. Never spend any money in hospital. He said, boy, he said, that's unusual. He said, you've already lived more than what the average man is supposed to live. I said, yeah, I know it, and I plan to live several more. I'm not going to die anytime soon. I don't plan to. I got things to do, don't we, Tony? We got things to do. Well, praise the Lord. Is it, you know, 4 o'clock? Already 4 o'clock. Okay. Well, let me tell you what. You know, just like today, I want to thank the Lord and praise Him that when somebody asked Scott, Is Papa T going to have church today? He said, Papa T always has church. It don't make no difference. It can be raining, shining, sleeting, snowing. It don't matter what it is. Papa T will be there. He may be the only one there, but he said, if he is, he'll preach to himself. He said, he will be there. And I told this couple from Florida, when they come in, I said, I can't imagine, you know, her heart's desire to come here from Florida for her that's her honeymoon request, her anniversary request. In that they've been married 10 years, and her only request was she wants to come here and come to a service. I said, what if we had shut down and we hadn't have been here? I said, how sad that would be. But I am so grateful for what God has done in y'all's life. And do you believe you're delivered? Amen. What's that scripture? Joel 2:32. All right. So we're going to bug you with that. We want you to know Joel 2:32, the word. What did he send Mary to heal us?
His word.
He sent his word. So if we don't know the word, Tony, we can't get healed, can we? I mean, that's just like Tony, me and him was talking a while ago here a couple of years ago whenever he had his problem with his arm, whenever he broke it. And he did go to a doctor and they did check it and they x-rayed it and it was broken, wasn't it, Tony? Yeah, wow. You, Mary, she's in the medical industry herself, very heavily. So whenever Tony had him checked, they said, you'll have to have surgery. And if I remember correctly, after they said the surgery, still it won't fix it. You'll never be able to raise it any higher than about this high. Is that what they said? Yeah, so you're going to have a problem with that arm the rest of your life. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm going to let Jesus fix it, and he'll fix it, and there won't be no problem. Well, it took about 3 months for it totally to get back to normal, but now he does anything with that arm he wants to do, doesn't he, Mary? Yeah. Is Jesus good, Tony? Without a doubt, Jesus is good. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we started late, but we're going to quit early because we believe that everybody's here that needs to be here, and we're going to be here to pray for people. If anybody else needs to be prayed for, we will be here to pray, but we are going to close because we want people that do need to drive a ways to get home before the bad weather, before it gets dark. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to send your Holy Spirit and your angels with each one that has to go somewhere to drive or whatever, that those angels will direct them, protect them, and they will get home without a problem, and everything will be fine. And then, Lord, I ask you to send those angels with us to protect us all the rest of this year. And may you do great and mighty things through your church this year. May multitudes of people get saved, healed, and delivered in this new year of 2018. Lord, it seems like yesterday we were all concerned about the year 2000 and the world going to fall apart. And now that here we are 18 years later and we're still going strong. So, Lord, we're going to believe you're going to give us many more years to bring people into the kingdom and gloriously get them saved, healed, and delivered. And, Lord, I just want to thank you for all the people you have healed and delivered through this ministry in the last 20 or 30 years. I just praise you and worship you and thank you for everything you've done, all these people. And, Lord, may you increase and may the miracles become bigger and greater and more powerful because, Lord, we love it when we see you glorify yourself. And, Lord, I know that's why you told us to ask for anything so you could glorify yourself so people will know that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and that you're our Lord and our God. And how we praise you and thank you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.